everyone. Please take your seats. We're going to get started now. Sit quickly. Okay, everyone, we're going to get started. Who comes up first? Does Bill come up?
Welcome to our orientation. Thanks everyone for joining us today. And first thing I like to do is, thank you for your commitment. You know, this is going to be a very, very busy year. Each one of you, of course, has been chosen because of your leadership abilities and your dedication to NAR. I see a lot of our staff is here also. Let's give staff a hand. Stand up. Stand up. These men and women are really the backbone of our association, and we appreciate everything you do for us. Please pick up your gift outside. It is a Yeti mug. It will keep things hot and cold for 8 hours. So those Cubs fans, I'm sure something will be cold in here with some alcohol. Congrats. I'd like to, this is really awkward. I'd like to introduce the officers and committee liaisons. All of you know the great Elizabeth Mendenhall. Elizabeth, where are you? President-elect? She's probably in a meeting. We tend to do that here. First Vice President, John Smaby. John? Is he at the... Is he at the same meeting? Maybe I'm missing a party. But Treasurer Tom Riley. Tom's not here. He's working at the finance meeting. Tom Salamone, I think, is also gone. So why are we doing this? Okay, two people I know are here. Kevin Sears, Vice President. Mabel Guzman, Vice President. Realtor Party Director, Charles, don't call me Charlie, Oppler. AE Executives Liaison, Jared Grosso from New Jersey. Business Specialties Group Liaison, Baro Shalizi from New Mexico. Consumer Relations Liaison, Christine Hansen from Florida. Global Real Estate Liaison, Mark Kitabayashi from Washington. Law and Policy Liaison, Diane Disbrow from New Jersey. Member Services Liaison, Jennifer Brancini from California. Public and Federal Issues Liaison, Brenda Small from D.C. Commercial Liaison, Dina Zimmerman from Illinois. Large Residential Firms, Robert Bailey, California. Realtor Party Engagement Liaison, Wendell Bullitt from North Carolina. Realtor Party Disbursement Liaison, Carol Griffith from Michigan. Carol, good luck next Tuesday. She's running for re-election again. This is you in. Realtor Party Fundraising, can you tell us apart? Kenny Parcell. Realtor Party Member Involvement Liaison, Tracy Casper. Second Century Venture Liaison, Robert Kulik from San Jose. Special Projects Liaison, my good friend Beth Pierce from California. Beth, stand up. So, you know, now, is Elizabeth here? Elizabeth, how are you? Elizabeth is going to give you some words of wisdom. Thanks again for all of you for being here. Let's have a dynamic 2017.
There is no doubt 2017 is going to be dynamic because of this gentleman right here. He is, let's give another hand for Bill. Yes. One of the things that he exhibits and he displays more than anyone I know is the partnership and the teamwork about what it takes to work together. And maybe it's the fact he's such an avid sports fan and has been a sports fanatic all his life, but he knows really what it means to create a team. And for the 2017 chairs, when he put together the team and I had the opportunity of being in the room and he started picking you, I was like, no, I wanted that person. No. So excited about the dynamics and just the group that he put together and the mix of people to really continue to make this association better. And for the 2017 chairs, you've got a very tough order to fill. Bill is, he's demanding, he's compassionate, and he is revolutionary. And so you've got a great opportunity here to really take this association along with all of us to the next level. And the other job that you have is to be a good mentor. And for the 2017 vice chairs who are here in this room, many of you are partnered up with somebody who can be that mentor for you. And, you know, we kind of, again, looked at the dynamics of not just who was in the position, but who was together in the position. And so you're at this table with the liaisons and with these chairs and vice chairs to really make sure that the transition is smooth for the organization, that it continues from year to year, and that we continue to prepare those leaders and look for the leaders for next year of the future. So I just want to, you know, on behalf of the entire team, we are so excited that you're here to fill this role in 2017 together and to really share that process together and then to bring all the members together. So thank you so much for being here and thank you so much for being part of this wonderful breakfast. And I think with that, who am I turning it over to? Who's up next? Mr. Kevin and Ma Bell. So please welcome your two amazing vice presidents.
So what's funny is Elizabeth talked about when Bill was selecting you all to be his chair or liaison. When we were in the meeting, a name would come up, and I'm not going to point anybody out, but Elizabeth actually said, Bill, if you don't use that person, I'm going to. And that was a guarantee that Bill was going to use you. He's like, nope, if Elizabeth's willing to use him, I'm going to use him.
True story. So welcome, everybody. Thank you for being here today, and thank you for all the service that you've provided to your association, to the members as well. You're all very giving people, and that's why you are here. So chairing is a key role when it comes to the function and decision-making of a large association like NAR. However, a chairperson has a trusted partner, and that is your vice chair. Vice chairs, raise your hand. All right, you're here. Both of these people are critical to the success of an NAR committee, and let's take a closer look at each of these roles. Kevin?
So do we have a PowerPoint? Are we going to, Aaron, anything? Oh, here we go. Okay. Excellent. So I'm not following the PowerPoint. I've got my notes right here in front of me. But, you know, the ideal for chair and vice chairs, what is the role? And there's 10 key responsibilities for y'all. One is to follow the goals and objectives of the NAR strat plan. So think about that. When you're having discussions, does it fit into the strat plan? Create and implement consistent action items. We want to make sure that we have a clear and concise message if there's an action item coming out of the committee. Work in tandem with the staff executive and your liaison. Create an environment for member input. This is key. Embrace the conversation. Don't let someone dominate it, but embrace it. Good dialogue leads to that consistent message, good action items. Participate in planning sessions before the meetings. You want to make sure that you and staff are on the same page about what your expectations are. Review the items and formulate your meeting agenda. Debrief together after the meetings. Make sure everybody's on the same page, that you have the same takeaway, because if there's confusion after the meeting, then you're going to have to circle back and get that clarified. Identify any hot-button issues that need to be resolved. forward action items to executive committee and the board of directors. So if you have an action item, then you as a chair or vice chair in your place, if you can't make it, will have to go to the executive committee, report what the action item is, be prepared to give a presentation and answer any questions that any of the members of the executive committee might have. And then finally, leverage the committee's talents with work groups. Throughout the year, there might be issues that come up that are under the purview of your committee that you can't wait until the meeting for the full committee to do it. You can utilize a work group to solve the problem at hand.
So one of the most important things about real estate when we're doing a search is location, 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 right? So as chair and vice chairs, one of the most important things is communication, communication, communication. Say it with me. Communication. I said say it with me. Communication,
communication,
communication, communication, communication. Communication. It's very simple, but it seems to be one of the biggest challenges between for chair and vice chair. For instance, I have not heard back from so-and-so. Or there are so-and-so because I haven't heard back from them. They've fallen off the grid. Or, you should have consulted with me. Don't be a renegade. You know, we're having a revolution, not an insurrection. It's particularly important not only in the month before the May meetings or in the November meetings, but you should have calls throughout the year. Also, you have committee members. You want to get them engaged. You want them to know what's going on. There should be email updates. But plan conference calls. Talk about some of the issues that are going forward. You should be having some initiatives that you're working on. And now is the time to set the standard of communication between the two of you, NAR staff, and NAR leadership. And let's review communication hierarchy for the committees.
So one of the things, and I'll just share with you, if my bell says, say it with me, you better, because I'm the Robin to her Batman, and trust me, she's going to tell us what to do, and we better do it.
Yeah, and we only decided that he decided he was going to be Robin because he has green tights.
So on that note,
it's going to be like this all year. People get used to it.
So we do have the communication hierarchy, and we have the staff executives. They'll be the ones that you work with the closest, your vice chair as well, and then the committee liaisons. The committee liaisons, you'll be reporting to them. They'll then take it up to the vice presidents. For those of you in the realtor party segment of the association, we do have a realtor party director. So he, Charlie Appler, will be a key component for you when decisions are being made and the communication needs to flow up towards the vice presidents, us, and then the elected officials, Bill, Elizabeth, John Smaby, and Tommy Solomon. Sorry there, sorry, Chris. Didn't mean to make you related to him. So the communication vehicles. Now, here's the thing. There's an email group that's going to be available for all of you. And it's dependent on us having the best information available. Please check your NERDS records to make sure that the email address in the NERDS system is the most up to date. If you can, also, make sure that the rest of your information is correct, in particular, cell phone. I know that when you accepted the position, you had to check it off and put your cell phone in, but just make sure the information is accurate. In addition, there are a lot of other great tools at our disposal. I'm sorry to interrupt. We just had First Vice President-elect John Smaby come in the room. John, please, you're introduced earlier. Please wave. So now you know who to communicate with, what the hierarchy is. My bell is going to share with you some of the tools that we can use for effective communication.
Conference calls. For times when you just need the group to interface for a short period, consider a conference call. It's cheap, it's easy, and on top of that, members can collaborate simultaneously and hash out ideas in a short period of time. Even when you do have a call, make sure you have an agenda. People want to know the roadmap that you're going to take them down on that call. WebEx. WebEx is excellent. Also, people can type in their comments or questions. They can raise their hand. There's different tools with WebEx that you can use to have a very rich conversation and a good meeting, especially if you have a slide deck that you want to present. So WebEx is great. What you want to do is work with your staff executives, and they can make these arrangements for you if you need a WebEx to happen. Also, you may want to bring in a speaker. You know, it doesn't necessarily have to just be the group. You may want to bring an outside expert. Staff could actually arrange that for you. They may make some recommendations as well. Dropbox. How many of you use Dropbox? Like home room. All right, awesome. This is a great way just to keep all those documents in one place, right? You can just send an email that, you know, it just goes out, and then people can go right there, get the committee minutes, any kind of other documents that there are going to come with meetings, whether it's a conference call or your May or November meetings. Sometimes so much information to clog up our emails. If you just have a Dropbox set up, it'll be a lot easier. And then also Basecamp. Who's familiar with Basecamp? Yeah, that's a great format, especially if you want to have a discussion online. Instead of emails going back and forth, you go right to Basecamp and you can have a whole thread of conversations, including all the documentation that goes with your committee, whether it's the mission statement, your minutes, your agendas, and any of the packets that would come out during the year. So you can keep it in all in one place and you can talk to each other without clogging up those emails as well. So the Kevin?
My turn. Function. All right. So we have the two meetings, mid-year, annual. Great meetings. We all get to meet together. We can see who's wearing a KP tie, who in the room has a KP tie, who has a couple people. All right. I'm wearing a Colin Milan tie.
And I just want to say, Kenny told me, KP scarves coming in winter. So for the ladies.
But when you're outside of the annual meetings, a work group could be key to solving an issue or problem, as I mentioned earlier. And so what you'd need to do is work with your staff, executive, and your liaison to formulate a plan for the work group. Because the work group could have a financial impact. And so there's a process for getting a work group approved. And the request would need to come up to the vice presidents, and then we would have to bring it to President Bill. And so, you know, once you look at what the budget impact is, how many in-person meetings you think you might have to have, can you use a WebEx or something like that, once the plan and cost summary are developed, then we would approve it, or unfortunately sometimes they are turned down. But once the work group disbands, it's done when its task is completed. So you go through the process, you do your work, you submit the report to the leadership team, and then you're disbanded. And I think once we get the work group information, it does go to the full committee, and then it's a matter of the committee responding to what the work group findings are.
Okay, now let's talk about how committee leadership and staff can work together. The philosophy of collaboration yields extraordinary results for the benefit of the members. The key to this approach is work strong, working relationship among the committee chair, vice chair, and our staff executive and committee liaison. No action happens without everyone working together. No one in the chain is blindsided or sidestepped. Every point of view is respected. Let me say that again. Every point of view is respected. Dissent is a good thing. Again, but it's revolution, not an insurrection, so let's be clear.
It can be healthy, not necessarily
healthy.
A good thing, but it can,
it can
be healthy.
And above all, every decision should be determined by whether it is for the best interest of the NAR organization and all of its members. Personal agendas are not tolerated. Prior to meeting, set up a time with your NAR staff executive and liaison to go over a couple of things. Review all aspects of the meeting agenda, organize reports and actions for efficient progression, review background on relating issues, and then after the meeting, set up a time with your NAR staff executive and liaison to debrief. And I say that it's very, very important. Also, it's part of member development and your own personal development, where you can get feedback from staff, from the liaison, and then you can talk about how the conversation went either on the WebEx, online, or even after the meeting face-to-face. Where did you miss or hit some objectives? What could we stop doing or what can we continue? Do we need a work group? All those things on a debrief can actually make a lot of sense when you break the meeting down. You know how much more further you have to go and some what you need to pull back on. Also rely on NAR staff because they're awesome. They just are. So rely on NAR staff to provide resources and background. Refer to liaisons for advice and clarification. Liaisons, raise your hands. Those are your people. So reach out to them. They're there for you. Now Kevin will go over committee authority and reporting policy.
So this may be your first time as a chair of a committee, but you've served on the committees before. So I'm just going to walk you through the process that you probably already know. But if there's an action item from the committee, that needs to go to the board of directors. So you, at the end of the year, you may find that you've accomplished your goals. The committee has done everything that they had hoped to do. But if there's a recommendation to change a policy, an NAR program, product services related funding, anything like that, then we have to go through the formal governance reporting process. And so, as I mentioned earlier, action item will go to executive committee. It will then go from executive committee to the board of directors. So a request for expenditures related to a program, product, service needs to go to finance committee 30 days prior to a regular business meeting. So if you think there's something that's going to have a budgetary impact, you need to make sure that you pay attention to the calendar. It's important for the chairs and vice chairs and staff executives to formulate the action items together for the executive committee and make sure that you have the information readily available. The majority of times, there's questions, so make sure you're ready. Mabel?
Okay. So I think we gave you some good information that you can work with. So your 2017 committee work begins today. During the breakout session scheduled after lunch, you will meet with staff executives and committee liaisons to start building the relationship and discuss the goals of the coming year. President Bill Brown will provide more direction on the breakouts at the closing of the session. And thank you all for being here today, and thank you for giving your time.
And you know what, let me just touch on just a couple of other things, because Bill didn't specifically talk about what his hopes are for next year. I know you will later, Bill, but since we've got your committee leadership here, now Bill's theme for the year is revolution. Four goals, and Bill, hopefully I'll say them the best way possible. NAR is going to, in conjunction with some academics from Cal Berkeley and I believe Harvard, are going to do a study. So we're going to have, and work with Lawrence Yoon, we're going to have some independent outside folks looking at the impact on the economy of home ownership. Because of the Great Recession, home ownership dropped below 63%. You all should have seen the reports that we've finally gotten up above 63%, but at the height of the market, we were around 70%. Is 70% too high? Maybe. Is 63% too low? Definitely. And so they're going to do some studies about the positive impact of home ownership on the economy and the communities, first of all.
So increasing home ownership, number one.
Increasing. Secondly, preserving the tax benefits of property ownership. Absolutely. And it goes beyond mortgage interest deduction, deducting property taxes. It also involves, for our commercial brethren, preservation of the 1031 like-kind exchange. And so we know that with the new president and the new Congress and Senate, they're going to be looking at all things tax-related are going to be on the table. And so the second goal for Bill in 2017 is preserving the tax benefits of property ownership. The third goal is, now I'm drawing a blank.
GSE reform, which is important to make sure that we have a secondary market.
Third time, we're going to hear that three times.
Three times. Okay. So it might be a little overkill, but these are going to be your disciples out in the halls. And the fourth thing is developing a product education for our realtor members. 35% of our realtor members do not own their own home, have very little savings when they retire. And so developing education for the realtors to invest in themselves, in their business, maybe in rental properties, but definitely in some sort of retirement. So Bill, I hope I didn't overstep my bounds, but I wanted to make sure that they hit it. I did.
Right. So if anybody wants to know about GSC reform, you can go to the table in the middle right over here and talk to those people. Larry Black, who's the vice chair of the Conventional Finance Policy Committee, all those folks. But remember, maintaining that 30-year mortgage, it's important. And we have people in the House and Senate that believe we shouldn't. So
thank you all.
Thank you.
Ma Bell and Kevin, thanks for that wonderful introduction. It's really, you really know where you stand sometimes with your friends. Anything else you wanted to add? Bill was concerned when they went off script, and now you know why. So, I have the pleasure of working with most of you in this room this year as the Realtor Party Director. For most of you, you don't remember the RPCC in 2010, but that was the beginning of the Realtor Party as we know it today. It actually came to life in 2011, and as you'll see on some of the slides, 2014 was really our first major election. It was the midterms, and you'll see some of the graphs and the charts of where we've evolved to, the amount of programs that we've been involved in, and the amount of dollars that we've expended. So one of the things, there's the whole Realtor Party team in here. Will the liaisons and the chairs and vice chairs please stand? I don't want to go through about 15 or 20 names, but anybody that's a Realtor Party chair, vice chair, liaisons. So for all of you that are in certain states that need people to come and visit you, this is your team for 2017. I always think history is a great teacher. So you can see in 2014, as we really got involved with many of the different programs, you can see 38% of the programs were raising RPAC money, 30% for advocacy, building Realtor Party strength 17th, community outreach 15%, and you can see the Game Changers was the big winner. And you'll see that consistently because it doesn't take a lot of activity, but we're all open-minded that if there are things that you think we need to do, it's never going to be 5% of the programs, but this is a group of liaisons, committee chairs, and just from a membership standpoint, when you think something makes sense, bring it to somebody. Okay, that's how things get done. And as you'll see in 15, we've evolved the same way. But again, Game Changers is not going to be a percentage, but everybody wants to hear what makes sense. Some of the things we've done over the years, we've changed because of the Game Changers, but it's just never going to be a big percentage. You can see the total associations involved receiving services, 1,025 in 2015. And total programs completed, 3,700. And you'll see when we get to a five-year summary, Realtor Party certainly is what this organization and NAR has really become because it's membership-driven, it's grassroots, it's all of you being involved in your local communities. It's the independent expenditures that take place locally, on a state level, and then obviously on a federal level, which is not included here, but that's where we really are involved. So let's go to 2016. And this is so far year to date, so you can see that we've already have almost as many associations receiving services this year, and we'll end up well over 3,000 again for 2016, and this is as of October 30th, with many things still happening. The next slide's really a great overview. If you look at total programs completed in a five-year period, when Realtor Party was born in 2011 and we really got involved in 2012, I don't think anybody imagined that we'd be this successful. Almost 15,000 programs completed on state and local levels. I mean, that's where the dollars get spent, that's where you make your biggest impact, and that's where you'll continue to make your biggest impact in the next 5 years. One of the things we're also discussing, you know, we talk about strategic thinking and making good decisions. We're going to put a group together this year and look at a five-year growth plan for the Realtor Party. We've not done that before. It's really been in its infancy, but now we can take it to the next level, and we're going to put a group together to kind of brainstorm and say, where do we want to be in 5 years and look at this, because certainly politically we've made an impact in so many ways. We're going to show the dollar part of this. Now, just to understand the pie charts were the activity, the advocacy, the realtor party grants, the programs involved. This is actual dollars expended just for state and local independent level. So this is not federal. This is not your RPAC dollars. This is just on the realtor party side. And you can see where it's gone in 2012 to 14 to 16. Needless to say, 13 and 15 are not election years. So you'll see that drop down significantly. And you have the number of applications in each of the bar graphs. And then you'll see the dollars that are expended. Keep in mind that state and local issues, and then we'll see the issues MOB part of this as well, is really where a lot of our focus has been for many of the years. When we are involved in the state and local campaigns, we're not going to win every one. Our success has been about 77% over the years. Sometimes you're sending messages because you're not going to always win, but we're going to stand up for what we believe in terms of private property rights and different positions that we need to take from a realtor standpoint. And sometimes we may end up supporting somebody that loses, but I can tell you that the person that wins knows that we were in the room, that we were involved. We've got a couple of federal expenditures this year that we're going very strong in, and that if we lose, we have some congressmen that are well aware of our position based upon the dollars that we've expended on federal campaigns. So it'll be a very interesting year. Most importantly on this level, our chair this year will be Jim Liptak, and his vice chair is Dan Hatfield. If you're both here in the room, I know I saw Jim. Dan? Jim Liptak's your chair for 17. Dan Hatfield from Texas is the vice chair. The Issues MOB program, you can see the growth, 14, 15, 16. When we kicked this off in 2012, we got real involved. And we've been very involved, and just, I think, the most important part is when you're involved in issues, that's where we make a big impact. Okay, we know what elections are all about, but when you come to this group with issues, and we've had certainly some major issues, I think the biggest ones have been some ballot initiatives, Oregon, Montana, Louisiana, and Texas, and also with Missouri. We've passed passed constitutional bans on sales tax on services in these states. So understand that we're real involved, and if you look at it from the standpoint of not candidates, but issues, it's twofold. And those are the two biggest that we can be involved with. So for all of you in 2017, again, bring issues, bring anything that you can to the team, because if we don't know about it, we can't do certain things. This gives us an opportunity to do that, okay? Our chair this year is Rick Violet, and vice chair Chris Rost, if you're both in the room. Great. Also, with issues and advocacy, you go from the state house to the county and to city hall. So it doesn't matter what size your community is. Okay, you could have 200 people in your community, or 200,000, or you could have 2 million. It doesn't matter. We want to be involved at every level because those decisions locally always end up impacting us at a bigger level. So again, size in this case. Welcome, Brian. Nice to see you. Always keep in mind that what's local to you is probably local to somebody else, okay? We've all heard real estate is local, okay? Here's a perfect example. It's not just when you're buying and selling homes. It's when you're involved in the political process. And let's look at a summary. I'm not going to read one by one, but certainly you can see what's happened in 2016. This is why all the programs are really important. Keep in mind that everything that gets done is done with the intent and we can make these slides available also if anybody needs to see them, is a campaign. And it's not just one means of communication. As Ma Bell and Kevin said earlier, communication is the key. We're trying to be as many different places as we can so that when you're playing a game on your phone, you'll see something that we're doing. If you read a local paper, you'll see something that we're doing. If you're just looking at your MLS, you may see something that we're doing. When you're driving your car, if you're listening to your radio, you may see something that we're doing. Anything that we can do to make membership aware and all of our constituents aware and all homeowners and sellers and just everybody around aware of what we're doing, it's one by one that we make the biggest impact. And when it's one by one, it's all of you, okay? Never take, to me, just never take it for granted of how important you are in your local community, because you're the voices. At the end of the day, we're all the respected people locally that people want to know what's happening at NAR. This is really what NAR has evolved into. When you think about the realtor party, you think about maybe cleaning up a park in Connecticut, maybe running something in Missouri from a tax standpoint, looking at what issues are important in Virginia. So wherever it is, real estate's all local. And you are the team for 2017, and the 2018 team, you're part of us in 17. So we need you involved from day one. So with that, I want to thank you for your anticipated cooperation in 2017. And I want Ma Bell and Kevin to watch this. I'd like to call Hagen Stone, our fundraising chair in 2017.
Well, that was a nice round of applause, mainly for the joke. Glad to be here this morning. I'm glad to be here to share with you exciting news about what's coming up as we transition into the year when it comes to fundraising. We're going to talk a little bit about our awards that are coming up. We, as you all know, we have sort of transitioned into giving the awards out in May in D.C. now. And we're going to be awarding these categories there in D.C. In May. Commercial Board Recognition, Local Board Recognition, President's Cup, Triple Crown, Highest Percentage of National Fundraising Goal, and the Most Improved Overall Fundraising. So be looking forward to having a large crowd at the awards ceremony this year. I think having it there in D.C. Brings the excitement on. You're there. It's the whole reason we're there for the week. So make sure that when you get the all the invitations in and all the scheduling that you do mark down to be at the awards, and make sure your states are there as well. Then also want to just talk to you about the 2016 Committee Participation Challenge. Literally, the numbers you're about to see have changed. Oh, they've changed the right way. Y'all are really good. I got this about an hour ago, and they're totally different, so I wrote them in. This has been an excellent, excellent year for committee challenge work when it comes to RPAC participation. As you can see, 83% of all NAR committees have invested. And right now, 70 committees so far in 2016 have invested 100%. Last year, 56 committees did that. So we're at 98.7% of all committees participating. Literally at our dinner last night, there were 24 people who were on a hit list. I hope none of you were in here. If you are, I'm going to find you afterward. But we assigned these folks out to their liaisons, their committee chairs, and some of us. We were able to get three people to invest when we were at dinner last night online. So we are hoping to have a great announcement at the end of the board of directors. So say a prayer for us. We're working it, and we do want to continue that tradition into 2017. So just want to work and encourage you all to get with your committee right off the bat at your first meetings. Let them know how important it is that we're 100% invested in RPAC going throughout the year. And the sooner you do that, the better. And thank you so much for what you're going to do to make 2017 a great fundraising year. Thank you.
Hagen went to the school of Sears introduction, but I know, continuing joke, right? We're about to eat lunch now, and during the next hour, I'd like to ask all of you to get to know your committee leadership, you know, chair and vice chair, you know, bond a little bit, as we would say in California. Also work with your liaison to, you know, establish some goals for your committees and really just kind of get to know each other. Also, it's going to be very important for you to establish some form of communication in between meetings. So, you know, we feed you, we ask you to work a little bit, and we're all going to have some fun this year. So let's get lunch, and leadership will be walking around. If you have any questions, feel free to ask us. Thanks.
Time for me to go.